welcome to Talking Therapies, a podcast made together with Psychologies Magazine and the UK Council for Psychotherapy, or UKCP for short. I'm Susie Walker and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Psychologies. Each month on Talking Therapies, we will be talking to a UKCP therapist about a range of topics. And in this episode, we will be uncovering why men are so lonely.
I think the benefits of psychotherapy are to connect at a very authentic and deep level, and hopefully offer a very meaningful experience around connection with another human being, and that can then be the pathway to greater social connection.
That was UKCP psychotherapist Noel Bell. A keen blogger and podcaster, Noel draws on extensive experience in the mental health field. You may have seen Noel's feature in the media talking on issues such as addiction, social media, mental health. Recently, Noel spoke to Sky News about the rising rate of teenage suicide. In this episode, Noel will be talking to Matt Nichols from the UK Council for Psychotherapy to find out how important it is to have someone to turn to. But first, here's some comments about friendship and loneliness from people we spoke to on the street.
Friendship in someone's life is majorly important because we don't get anywhere in life without the backing of our friends. They support us, they listen to us, they pick us up off the floor when they need to. And really, if you don't have that in life, then you've only got yourself, really. You can be quite lonely.
I think in a way men do talk less about their feelings. I think it's a very manly thing in a, you know, like old term sexist way to say men talk less. I think it's just an old fashioned thing that men are encouraged not to express themselves well, yes.
I think that these days men are more lonely because the expectation on men has ramped up massively with the advent of things like Love Island, etc., what you should look like, the way you should behave, what a real man is. And a lot of the time these expectations are completely unrealistic and you're never going to achieve them. So a lot of people start feeling that unless they look like that, then they shouldn't be going out, they're not gonna have friends.
I think men struggle with friendships because they don't actually talk openly about things. As they go through their life, they try to hide things, especially with looking at mental health. It's not something that men openly talk about. And I think having relationships that you keep from an early age is really beneficial, but some people just don't have that.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, guys tend to have a low number of, you know, sort of close friends. You know, maybe they have their university friends, you know, and keep them for life, but because of the distances involved or quite whatever, they can't sort of catch up with them as much as possible. But hobbies and pursuits, you know, do give you the potential to find new friends, and people should be doing such things.
A YouGov survey from November asked men about their friendships and whether or not they felt like they had people outside the home to open up to about their worries. 51% of respondents said that they had two or fewer friends, and 1 in 8 said they had none, equating to 2.5 million men having no close friends. With 75% of suicide victims in 2016 male, more than 1 in 4 men stating that at some point they thought about taking their own life. How important is friendship in combating loneliness?
Noel, thank you for joining us. We're talking about the friendship crisis today, and particularly, why are men so lonely? We heard in the intro piece there that 51% of men responding to a survey said they had two or fewer friends, and 1 in 8 said they had none, which, if you try and do the maths, it comes to 2.5 million men saying they have no close friends. Why do men feel like they haven't got close friends?
Well, it's fascinating, isn't it? I mean, I've got my own experience of being a man, as well as my clinical work of seeing men in therapy, as well as where I've read around. But I think, you know, there's probably societal factors and cultural factors involved, and the socialization around maybe men need to be self-reliant the hunter-gatherers maybe, does that influence some sort of soul way of being? And, you know, I notice with my female friends, they have a plethora of contacts and social networks, and when they have, you know, birthdays and things, people come out of the woodwork to celebrate it, and there's people everywhere, where with men there can be an absence of celebration. Now, I'm sure we can all think of some males that where that's not the case, but I think it's a fair generalization to see men as maybe a little bit more insular in their social networks, particularly married men. And polls and research would suggest that the older men are, and particularly those that are married, they're more vulnerable to loneliness. And so long as their wife and family are around, that might suffice to ward off the really negative effects of loneliness. But if there's a bereavement there, or, you know, a loss of spouse, then that's when sometimes the real dangers of loneliness can suddenly appear as crisis points in a man's life.
So you touched on it there. Does age have an effect on how many friends a man's likely to have? Does it tend to drift away as they get older and married and form your own social circle with your partner?
Well, the research and the polls would seem to suggest that the older one is. I mean, I came across an interesting stat on this, that between the ages of early 20s and late middle age, men's chances of friendlessness almost treble. Now, that's quite harrowing, particularly if you draw any kind of correlation, and I'm not sure whether we can scientifically, but is there a correlation to the much higher male suicide rate? I think there's probably some sort of connection there.
Sort of that sense of perhaps that isolation and having no one to talk to, yeah. Really. And is it a thing then that men struggle to open up to people and talk about feelings and to the people around them? Say what's going on in their heads.
Yeah, I mean, I've witnessed men being very vulnerable in many settings. You know, for instance, 12-step communities, where there's tremendous sharing, revealing, and a massive empathy. But then I've also witnessed men who think it's a massive sign of weakness in order to admit that there's a problem in their life. And sometimes, you know, clients as men appear in therapy when everything's at crisis point. You know, it's like they're leaving, you know, the wife is leaving halfway down the garden path with the suitcase. And it's then the man typically can think, oh, maybe there's a problem in my life. And it is a shame that level of receptiveness to opening up is often not there with men.
When we talk about friendship, how important is it to actually have those face-to-face friendships, those meeting up and chatting, rather than having sort of online or text exchanges, as we all do quite a lot more now?
Well, I think it's really important to be picking up on the social cues of being with people and doing, quote, real things, because I think the temptation is to live in a, you know, an online world where maybe, you know, you're receiving likes on social media, and does that represent connection? And, you know, I really do believe we're living through seismic change around whatever we want to call it, the information revolution, the computer age, because I don't think it was so evident in past social change epochs, you know, the Industrial Revolution and before that, the Agricultural Revolution. It wasn't always apparent what impacts these changes were having on family life, on society, on our brains. Till much later, you know, it was only in retrospect did we see the changes that were happening. And I suspect that's the case now. You know, we're already seeing some
anecdotal evidence around kids being impacted by their cognitive abilities at certain ages. And there's a lot of speculation as to the reason why that is. Some would say it's because the parents are giving less attention because they're themselves are addicted to screens. And, you know, we see with the impact of the Instagram and Snapchat and the rest of them, just trying to keep up with all the latest apps, and what that's doing for people's body image around food and then addictions. So we're living through such a change. I don't think we really necessarily know the impact of it now. So I think we are seeing the need for real connections. And I think technology is really exciting, but I'm well aware of its negativity as well. But I like to see where the connections are, where technology is making people meet up in the real world. And I think that, you know, all the evidence suggests, and even the Facebooks and others would argue this, passive scrolling of technology and social media will lead to feelings of, you know, low self-esteem because it just feels like wasted time. But where you are getting connected through the social media scrolling to real connections in the real world, I think that's where technology probably helps us.
I think that's a really good point of thinking that technology, it isn't either a bad thing or a good thing. It can help us in some ways. You were making me reflect there. I'm not a great one for chatting on the phone to my friends, but I will quite often send them a WhatsApp message asking them how they are, especially the ones I know who perhaps are a little bit more vulnerable or who might not be as vocal with their emotions, just to almost check in with them. And then if they don't respond, I feel quite, I'm going to keep pushing and checking how they are. So I suppose it can have a real benefit, that sort of almost check-in with your friends.
Yeah,
that's something I've found quite helpful. I quite like it as well.
Yeah,
to just see a message come through and say, how are you?
Yeah, but then there's other evidence, like the neuroscience would seem to suggest that we get a little sort of drip of dopamine and oxytocin from, you know, the connections online. So there is some benefits. Sometimes we need more of that, and those of us that are susceptible to addictions can think, yes, I want more. Yeah. So I think that is a danger as well. So yes, there's a good positive effect of that, but I think sometimes that can be to the detriment. And I think the 24/7 nature of leisure now, there's always something on that we need to be connected to. So to set aside an evening, you know, to meet Matt or to meet Jenna, means that you have to set aside dedicated time. And maybe are we all just becoming, that's a very general statement, but are we all becoming a bit too self-centered with technology?
What are the best ways for men to build friendships, meaningful relationships, etc.?
Well, I think the shoulder-to-shoulder kind of interactions, you know, you might think such as driving or walking have been shown to be effective, more effective for men, because it kind of takes away the pressure of talking. So there is quite a bit of evidence to show good therapeutic outcomes, for instance, for men who get together in men's groups or in boxing clubs or in sporting places.
But if you are in a position where you're quite lonely already, you might feel a bit of a sort of it becoming a barrier to go into those social situations. You might feel the pressure. Is there a way of breaking that almost vicious cycle of being scared of being in a situation where you might make more friendships but wanting to get into those situations? Is there a way of breaking that cycle?
Well, I mean, I think it's a huge question about how someone who's lonely can manifest more positive attributes of being more inclusive and being more forthcoming and more confident in social settings. And I think, you know, like
clinically in therapy, I would be on a very individual level looking to see what is stopping someone, acting as a barrier to them feeling part of. So often that can unearth a lot of personal history of toxic relationships, always feeling put down, maybe ridiculed, not feeling good enough in terms of group settings. And that can often be the work, how to correct that. More generally, men suffering from loneliness, I mean, it is a huge issue that I think governments are now actually trying to look at, because they're seeing the evidence that's now not just on mental health implications, but also on physical health problems, cholesterol, and issues to do with vital organs. I mean, the evidence is showing that loneliness is a killer. I know from my own personal experience, the one-to-one can sometimes be, you know, potentially off-putting. But being in a group and feeling part of can actually be kind of liberating. So, you know, we were talking earlier about I went on a mindful walk, and there were people of all ages. It seemed so many diverse backgrounds, and it's facilitated by someone who is then recounting the oral history of the places where you're going, and where there used to be a railway station there years ago, and you're seeing pictures, and then you're continuing the walk. And what was really amazing was as you're going through the urban jungle that is Southeast London, but going through these ancient woodlands of places that you never knew kind of existed, you're actually chatting to people en route, different people, and yet the focus is not on meeting, because that's, you know, it's not like you know, that's why sometimes when the focus is on to meet people, there's a pressure there. Yeah. Where when you're actually doing something, you're getting exercise, you're out and about in the great outdoors, you're walking through some interesting places, then the pressure is off around meeting people. But I think then that is kind of conducive to connecting with others. And, you know, it can be fun, something like that. I'm not sure the British weather will always allow for such, you know, regularity of sessions. But yeah, it is kind of thinking outside the box about how to meet people in their environment and not necessarily in your environment.
And finding those spaces, perhaps, that don't force you into a, I've got to meet new people. Yep. We're just doing an activity together.
Yep.
And that's breaking down some of the loneliness. How can psychotherapy help us build better and more meaningful relationships?
Well, I like to make the distinction between aloneness and loneliness. You know, I don't see it as the role of the psychotherapist to be, you know, going around pathologizing personal lifestyle choices or pathologizing behavior. Some people are happy in their own skin and being on their own, and that's absolutely fine. I think that people who approach psychotherapy for loneliness, you know, that implies something is probably not working, or there's a dissatisfaction and unhappiness with aloneness and loneliness. So I think the benefits of psychotherapy are to connect at a very authentic and deep level, and hopefully offer a very meaningful experience around connection with another human being. And that can then be the pathway to greater social connection, as well as an opportunity to review potential past emotional woundings and hurts and around groups and social connections. For me, the psychotherapy process, for when it becomes really dynamic, is to be able to address what are the things, the qualities maybe needed to manifest a more whole, happier, more fully functioning life.
That was UKCP psychotherapist Noel Bell talking to Matt Nichols from the UKCP. If, after listening to that, you feel you could benefit from some talking time with a psychotherapist, then go to the Find a Therapist section of the UKCP website and have a look through. The website address is www.psychotherapy.org.uk and look for the Find a Therapist tab. We'll also be talking about the importance of friendship in Psychology's magazine this month. Or you can find us online at www.psychologies.co.uk. We'll be doing a podcast each month for the next year with some of the UKCP psychotherapists. So remember to like and subscribe to our channel to hear it first, and it helps others to find us too. So join us again next month. Till then, thank you for listening and take good care of yourselves.